I'm Sam Rossi.
And I'm AJ Carey.
Join us every Wednesday as we summarize and discuss true crime on Killing 15 Minutes.
That's right, 15 minutes or less on some sick puppies, serial killers, and criminals. Every Wednesday.
I write it, AJ reads it. Available on all major audio platforms.
And please follow us on all major social media outlets as well. I'm a sea king, a CGI thing. I'm here to eat and bear my teeth and shake a tail fin. A bikini babe, catching a rogue wave. A big surprise, I'm gonna rise and flash my tooth cave. All the buff dudes, safe on the beach food. They're gonna need a bigger boat and barrels real soon. I'm a sea king, a CGI thing. I'm here to eat and bear my teeth and shake a tail fin.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Bucket of Chum, the Shark Movie Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Captain Steve. This week, we're talking about Maneater from 2022, directed by Justin Lee. This movie has a cast of people I actually recognize. We've got country music singer Tracy Atkins. I'm not a big fan of country music per se. I will listen to it, but I've at least heard his name before, so I kind of know who he is. Nikki Whalen, who I recognize from an episode of Workaholics, but she's in an Australian soap opera, I think, called Neighbors, and a recent Killer Croc movie, The Flood. And we've also got Shane West from A Walk to Remember that he was in with Mandy Moore. Mandy Moore, who was in 47 Meters Down. Ooh, shark movie connections everywhere. Whoa. He was also in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And we have the return of Jeff Fahey. That's two movies this month with fucking Jeff Fahey in them. Pretty happy about that. I'm a happy camper. So the tagline and plot synopsis are as follows. 200 teeth, zero chance. Nice. A group of friends on vacation in a seeming island paradise are stalked by an unrelenting great white after an accident leaves them stranded and left for dead. Again, plot synopsis, simple, straight to the point, and it actually really describes what's going on in the movie, surprisingly. Holy shit. It has an average rating of 1.6 stars on Letterboxd, so this is, as far as I can remember, the lowest rated movie this month. And if you've been listening all this month, you know the last couple movies have been especially frustrating for me. I was hoping this week's movie would, like, give me some hope, and, like, then I see this rating, and it dies. All the hope dies. I die. Everybody dies a little bit inside. But, anyways, poster expectations. I actually like the poster for this one. The Maneater logo is, like, hot pink, which I realize now is something that one of the characters that we only see briefly is wearing. So the color scheme actually kind of makes sense for that, too. Holy shit. The colors are very vibrant, and it's just a shark breaching water while there is a woman lying on a surfboard. But some of these posters lately have been decent enough. Like, I kind of liked the Shark Huntress one. And, oh god, I don't even want to think about that movie right now. Jesus fucking Christ. And, like, Alien Shark and shit like that. So, I honestly, I don't even know what to fucking expect anymore. Like, just, I don't. Because, like, some of these posters are so good, and then the movies are so bad, and then some of the posters are, like, absolutely insane, but then the movies are, like, entertaining. It's, like, totally fucking opposite sometimes, and it's just, it's really fucking hard to have any idea what to expect half the time with this shit. But if the poster is anything to go by, I should be fine. It should be a good time. It should be okay. Maybe we'll finally break this fucking streak. Oh. Anyways, will this movie save me? Or will she be a man-eater? Let's dive in. So as soon as the credits start rolling, I see that this is from Saban Films, who did, like, the Power Rangers movie and whatnot. So it's actually a studio that actually kind of has some money. So that gives me a little bit of hope that maybe they put some money into this movie so we can actually see some good shit for once. I'm not going to get my hopes up too high, but I'm going to have a little bit of hope. I want to try to have a little bit of positivity going into this, you know? Maybe things are going to be fine. We start off with our standard establishing beauty shots, and then we follow a diver as he goes into a cave, and he's attacked by this shark immediately. And we mostly see this from light from the diver's flare, so everything's kind of red. So I guess we don't get to see a lot of blood per se, but we can see that it's leaking into the water, and it actually does look kind of creepy. And the fact that it kind of comes out of nowhere too was a little bit surprising. And we see the diver like getting chomped on while he's inside the mouth until he disappears and his flare disappears. And then we like switch over to the title card. So pretty decent kill right off the bat. The CGI is more or less what you'd expect. It's maybe a little bit better. It's a little bit better because there's actually some carnage. So we finally got the fucking note. Put a little bit of carnage in the shark movie. That's what we need. We finally got some of it. So right off the bat, I'm pretty happy so far. Then we get some beauty shots of beaches, boats, docks, waterfalls, people diving off rocks and shit with this like some super upbeat music, which I didn't realize was something that was missing lately in the movies, like the music and the score. I guess sometimes I just don't think about it when I'm watching a lot of these shark movies because I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's something I'm definitely aware of when I'm watching mostly anything else, but this movie actually has like some score to it and some like upbeat music here and there, and yeah, it actually elevated it a little bit for me. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I can actually start to get into this. I'm feeling something here. Holy shit. Again, I'm not getting too excited, but again, like, I'm feeling something. Feeling a little something. Next, we're at a bar with Jesse, played by Nikki Whalen, and she's fiddling with an engagement ring or wedding ring or something like that. It's a ring with a big fucking diamond in it. Her friend, Sunny, played by Portia Coleman, sits next to her. And they're talking about the week that they have planned. So they're renting a boat and they're going to be drinking, more or less. And then Sunny reassures her that it's going to be a great week and to put the ring away and forget about it. Then she says that she should sell the ring, but Jesse says that she's going to give it back. Like, see, this is how you give some backstory without, like, shoving it up my ass. You just have a little conversation. We spent, like, less than 30 seconds on this. She's sad. Her friend is taking her and some friends out on vacation that was supposed to be her honeymoon, and they're making the best of it. Boom. We have our whole fucking backstory, and we didn't need like a 10-minute dialogue scene every 30 minutes to reestablish everything. Cage can't tell. I'm still a little bitter about the last like three fucking movies I've watched. Oh, okay, calm down. We're still good. I'm having fun right now, though, so this is good. Then their friend Will, played by Shane West, and Brianna and Emma and I think this other guy, Ty, show up. And Will has arranged the boat to be completely stocked with a full bar of booze. And some of them were hesitant or didn't care because, like, oh, we're not 21 anymore. But, like, it's a fucking vacation to, like, cheer this girl up and whatnot. Like, why wouldn't you have all kinds of booze? Like, nobody says that they weren't drinkers, so they clearly drink. So, like, why not embrace this? Then we see a woman, Jennifer, waxing her surfboard. That's not a euphemism for anything. That's just what she's doing. And this is happening a week earlier, as we're told by a title card. Her dad comes out and tells her to be safe, blah, blah, blah. His name is Harlan. He's played by Tracy Atkins. So Jennifer suits up on the beach and heads into the water. As she's sitting on her board, she sees some whales nearby. So she's kind of sitting there watching it. And then we can kind of see under her, the shark is circling and lurking around her. It breaches the water and pulls her under and chomps on her, but eventually lets her go. She swims to her board, and she's bleeding out bad, and then the shark comes back, grabs her, and we see again underwater, just giving her the death shake. Her board washes up on shore, along with a bunch of bloody water, and then we're back to present day. So again, this was very much like the underwater scene, except we could see a little bit more. Again, quick cuts, all CG. But a nice welcome change compared to the last few movies. So even though the CG is not top notch, I wasn't expecting it to be. The fact that they actually put some effort into making it look like it's actually attacking people, because that's what the movie's about, I like that. So yeah, for me, it's watchable. It's not great, but it's watchable at the very least. Back to present day, we're in a police station with Beth, played by Kim DeLonghi. I just wanted to say her last name sounds fun. And she's telling the sheriff, played by Branscombe Richmond, dope-ass name, and he's done stunt work on the original Mortal Kombat. He was in one of the Scorpion King movies. Pretty cool resume, so I thought it was worth mentioning. Oh, he also did some stunts on They Live. So yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. Anyways, Beth tells the sheriff that he and Wally, who's going to be the captain of this booze cruise, are planning a trip with tourists and gives him the routes and all that in case something happens. You would think that this would be important later. It really isn't. It actually doesn't really matter all that much, to be honest. But I will say this is actually something smart that the characters are doing, though. It would have made more sense if, like, they had used this information later, which they don't. But the fact is, they're actually doing something smart. So this movie is, like, sort of impressing me so far. Not a lot. Still fucking treading water here, but still. I just didn't think people making smart decisions in these movies was a thing anymore, and I guess it could still happen. Fuck me. And then Harlan comes busting in and says, "It's been a week, Sheriff, since I buried what little I have left of my daughter." So he's a little upset, and I guess the sheriff hasn't done anything to try and catch this shark. And then he apologizes to Beth for not being a gentleman like he normally is, but he's set that to the side today with his, like, southern fucking accent. One of the deputies tries to intervene, and Harlan shuts him down immediately, saying, like, "I'm not talking to the hired help." Rude, but fair. So he talks with the sheriff and asks, like, what he's doing, and then he says that when a shark tastes something it likes, it stays. Which I don't think is a highly accepted theory anymore, but again, not a fucking expert. But I guess this is just the excuse they needed for the movie, so it's fine. Just understand that when these characters say this shit, it's not actually real. I'm not 100% on this, again, but I'm pretty sure that they don't like the taste of human meat. So anytime they attack, it's just like a mistaken identity because they think it's a seal or some shit. But the fact that they're like, "Oh yeah, I like this, so I'm going to stick around here," I don't really think that's what it is, so don't read into that. That's just the plot device they need for this movie, so it's fine. After Harlan gets frustrated with this conversation, he says, "Fine, like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it on my own since you guys aren't going to help me." And then we go to some people jumping off a rock into the water, and then one person jumps right into the mouth of the shark, and then that's it. We don't see if anybody else actually saw this happen or what, and then, like, the camera just pans up, and we're just kind of done with that. So, I don't know. There's a couple of other little scenes like this that I just feel like they really weren't necessary. Like, we could have built up the tension a little bit more. Like, we know the shark's out there. We don't need to actually see it all the time. Again, I know I complained about not seeing it enough, and now seeing it too much, but there's a time and a place, and it needs to make fucking sense. And, like, sometimes like this, like, it doesn't make that much sense. We're back at the bar where the gang meets Captain Willie right after he's just been insulted by some fucking kids. Like, some kid's like, "I hate your shirt. I hate your hat." And again, I don't know why this was here, but anyways, they all get together and they meet each other, and then they head out towards the boat. And then we go back to Harlan, who's fiddling with a ukulele. And then he goes into his backyard where he's buried his daughter. And we know this because he's just got a cross with two sticks tied together. I mean, dude, you should probably spring for a headstone, right? Like, or carve something in the wood, because it just has, like, her necklace around it. Her name's not even on it. Like, what happens when you die? Nobody's gonna know who that is. And you're like, they're just gonna have a dead body in their backyard. That's actually kind of fucked, man. Yeah, you should get a headstone or proper burial or something. As everyone's getting on the boat, Beth asks what's up with the group honeymoon, and Jesse is like, "Yeah, things didn't work out." And then Beth immediately feels like shit, and she apologizes, and then everyone just kind of gets to know each other. Wally and Jesse talk to each other, and he tries to comfort her, but, like, not in a creepy way. Like, he's just, like, a nice dude, which was cool to see. I'm like, oh man, he's not being an asshole. Fuck me. Again, I'm still skeptical. I'm still a little skeptical, but I'm liking it so far. And then he points out to the sea and says, "The sea has a way of making us stronger." Ugh. Okay, writing could have used a bit of a touch-up, maybe, but... And then we see Will and Ty, like, laying down on the front of the boat, and there's, like, four women and two of them, and nobody's a couple here, so you know these two are just gonna spend, like, this whole week just trying to, like, fuck each and every one of them. And then Wally tells Jesse and Sonny they're going to a secret island and anchor there for the night. And then we cut to the shark every once in a while here, again, which was completely unnecessary. Why not just build the tension up a little bit more? Like, we know the shark's out there. We don't need to see it. And why did they make it seem like it's following the boat? Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me, at least we're not in this world that they've established. Next, we go to a classroom where Jeff Fahey, playing Professor Hoffman, is teaching a class on sharks. Bet that's going to come in handy. And he and some students talk about how scientists don't know much about the great white shark and how mysterious they are, which some of this I think is actually probably true. Because I know recently there was just a photo released of like the first ever newborn great white. And like I feel like a lot of other shark species, they know more about their mating patterns and whatnot. So he's spitting facts right now, basically. Then Harlan comes into the class and asks that why do they eat people? And Hoffman says they sometimes mistake people for food, like I was fucking saying earlier, but they prefer fish. And then Harlan tries to make the argument of like, oh, well, why have fish when you can have like a 32-ounce prime ribeye steak or some shit? And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so you're telling me a shark, like... would prefer to eat human meat over fish. Like, so like, oh, people's where the good shit is at? Like, get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about? Have you tried human meat? Like, do you know that it tastes good? How would you know this? This is where we're starting to go down, like, dumb territory a little bit. Hoffman dismisses his class, and he talks with Harlan alone, and they seem to know each other, which I guess is, like, a pretty fucked up way to ask your friend for help. Like, just interrupt his whole class and... make him kind of look like an idiot or something. So, yeah, rude. We learn Harlan also lost his wife at some point, unrelated to the shark attack, I guess, but losing his daughter and is, like, just too much now. And so he shows Hoffman the autopsy photos of his daughter, and Hoffman says it's a great white, which they know is unusual because they only have tiger sharks in their waters, which isn't true because later we see the boat talking about white-tip reef sharks, so... they forgot about that part, I guess. But Hoffman explains again that there's a lot they don't know about great whites, so it's totally possible for one to be swimming in these waters. They basically end up coming to the conclusion as well that this shark is just killing for sport. It's not killing for food or anything. So then we go back to the booze cruise. The gang is reminiscing about old times. They get to know Wally and Beth a bit and how they all met, all that fun shit. And then at a marina, Harlan is getting ready to go hunt the shark. He's got a rifle and all kinds of gear with him. The sheriff and the deputy try to stop him, but Harlan uses his, like, southern charm, aka he berates them and then just goes on his way. What are you gonna do? You gonna stop me, sheriff? That's not exactly what he sounds like, but I'm not gonna change it. That's good enough. The next day, Wally is driving the gang, and he points out a boat to everyone that has a line in the water to attract sharks. And this is, yeah, they say they see some white-tip reef sharks, even though, like, just a couple scenes ago, the other dude was just like, no, there's only tiger sharks in these waters. And then they do end up seeing a tiger shark right after the reef sharks. But I guess they say the reef sharks aren't, they're mostly harmless, so maybe that's what they're talking about. I don't know. He also says that it's extremely illegal to do that, but tourists pay big money for it because tourists are fucking stupid. And the girls in the gang are all scared, and the boys are all like, oh yeah, that's so cool, man. And then later on, they reach the island, and Wally says the island is theirs for the next 24 hours. So they take a raft to the island, and they talk about some more about Jesse's issues and whatnot. And then a dolphin scares the shit out of them, just kind of comes up beside them and, like, goes, beside them, and, yeah, that's all we get of that. Luckily, we don't see the dolphin die. He gets to live. Although I hear dolphins are pretty rapey, so maybe we should have seen him die. I don't know. That's a tough one. And also, we're supposed to believe that they're still paddling towards the island, but we can clearly see they're in like 2 feet of water, almost on the beach. Because when they do the reverse shot of somebody, we can see the beach right behind them. Like, they should have done this in deeper water or just switched the camera angle around. I don't know. It was just very weird to do it that way. Bikini Babes, Jesse, Brianna, and Sunny make it to the island, and Wally radios Jesse and says there's no cell coverage, so they have to use this walkie-talkie radio to communicate, and him and Beth will be staying on the boat because somebody has to save the boat at all times. So Will rows the boat back to the big boat to get Emma and Ty, and then Ty stupidly tries to shotgun a beer, but instead of using like keys or like a tiny knife or something, no, he uses this big ass fucking knife, stabs right through the can into his hand, and like they're in the middle of nowhere. This is the last place you want to be doing this shit, but oh no, it's fucking party, man. Open it like a normal person, like get fucked. So they get back on the boat and they patch this dumbass's fucking hand up. And then Wally tells him not to go in the water because it'll attract fish, that'll attract bigger fish, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, pretty simple thing to do, right? You're bleeding, don't go in the water. Simple fucking instructions, right? Yeah. I'm sure he's gonna follow them. Nothing's gonna go wrong. Harlan meets some other fishermen on the water and asks if anything weird has been going on the last week or so. And we learn that the fishing has been really bad, which is odd. And they also tell him they were fishing where they are now because they hit a reef earlier. And so Harlan looks where they supposedly hit the reef, and we can clearly see it's a bite mark. And Harlan tells them this, and then he asks where it happened. We go back to the island, and the sexy group of friends is drinking and laughing away, unaware at some point that they're all going to be very fucked up. Jesse breaks off and radios Wally, who's still cleaning blood off his boat. We don't get much from this. I don't know why Jesse keeps radioing Wally. Like, does she have the hots for him? I don't think so, because he's with Beth. So maybe he's just like a father figure to her. Or, yeah, I don't know. So Wally and Beth are on the boat talking, and Wally drops the walkie-talkie into the water, and he dives in to retrieve it. Oh no, I wonder where this is going. He gets it, and he's about to hand it to Beth, who sees the shark coming from behind him and tells him he needs to get out of the water. But I'm pretty sure she was almost holding his hand, and she didn't really do much to try pull him in or anything. So, yeah, lame. The shark comes up behind and pulls him down and chomps down on him, filling the water with blood. And Beth falls in, and the shark comes for her, and Wally's hat is just left floating on the ocean. So again, we get some like decent shots of the shark biting down, blah, blah, blah. Even when it was sneaking up behind Wally, not when we saw the fin out of the water, that looked really bad actually. But when we have like an overhead shot and the shark is like just beneath the surface of the water, but it doesn't quite break through, that actually looked really good. I kind of wish they had done more shots like that leading up to more towards the end of the movie, and then maybe save some of that CG budget for like a better fight. Spoiler alert, but yeah, I think that just would have been money better spent. But that's just me. The fuck do I know? Later on, Ty is passed out, but Emma wakes him up and says she's going for a swim, and so he follows her, and she takes her bottoms off and then runs into the water. So naturally, dumb fuck Ty goes in with her. And I'm not sure what the point is of taking your bathing suit bottoms off and, like, not your top or whatever. Like, why bother doing that at all? Easier access. But do you really want to be doing it in the water? Ah, fuck me. I don't know, man. Just whatever. Of course, Ty's hand is bleeding, and the shark is not far behind. And it comes for Emma first, who's been teasing Ty by, like, going underwater, then popping back up. So, like, he doesn't even really believe that she's actually been attacked yet. But then the shark breaches the water with Emma in its mouth and starts, like, chomping down on her, and she's screaming for help, and blood is filling up the water as it keeps biting on her. So we've seen a lot of CGI, as expected, and it's not terrible, but they actually managed to use some practical effect sharks here, like in between the CG shots. And the design of the practical shark sort of matches the CG shark. Like, fuck me, what a concept, eh? It was nice to see. So I give the movie points for doing that, because I like it when the practical and the CG match. The shark lets Emma go, and then it circles back around, then grabs her, and we just see blood wash up on shore. The rest of the gang start to wake up, Bree is hungover, Will is going to make everyone breakfast, and then Jesse walks down the beach, and she finds the walkie-talkie washed up on shore. So she asks Will if he still has the walkie-talkie that he gave her, and he does. So he tries to radio the boat, but there's just feedback because, yeah, they figure out that that's Wally's walkie. Will says he's going to take the raft back to the boat while everyone else enjoys the beach, and they realize Ty and Emma are missing, and he makes a joke like, oh, someone's playing hide the sausage. Oh, buddy, you don't know the half of it. Sunny and Jesse decide to go look for them. Bree decides to just stay in her sleeping bag since everyone else is fucked off. And to be honest, while the rest of them were talking, I kind of forgot she was there too, so... I mean, yeah, seems appropriate. Harlan finds Wally's body floating, but it was super bad CG. Like, it was so unnecessary. It took me right out of the movie, actually. Again, I feel like this happens a couple of times where this movie has potential, and then they, like, manage to avoid making it better. Like, just a little bit. Like, he's poking at the body, and it's, like, so clearly, not just the body, like, the body, the water, it's all CG, which was just very weird to me. I don't quite understand that choice. Like, it's like somebody didn't plan certain coverage or something, or they didn't plan this ahead of time, or that was always the plan, and they had too much confidence in how much time and money they would have, but... Yeah, totally unnecessary, and again, took me right out of the fucking movie. Like, they could have just... I don't know, he could have just found the hat. We saw the hat floating, he could have just found that all bloodied, and he would have, like, known. They could have just done that instead, and saved the money for something else. Will reaches the boat, and he calls for the captain, but no one answers, obviously. Sunny and Jesse walk the beach, trying to make the best of everything, and they come across Emma's underwear, or bikini bottoms, whatever... And then Jesse sees fucking Ty washed up on shore. So it's his dumbass fault that Emma is dead because his hand was bleeding and yet somehow he managed to live. Well, fucking hell. Jesse starts taking control and tells Sunny to radio the boat. We learned earlier that Jesse just graduated from med school, so she's about to become a doctor. So that's why she's like trying to patch Ty up and she actually knows what she's doing. Bree finally drags her ass out of the sleeping bag and decides to go to the water and then yells for Will to hurry up to get back just because she doesn't want to be on the island anymore because it's too bright or whatever. Sunny comes running and tells her Ty is hurt and she starts screaming for Will to get back, and as they do, they see the shark fin coming for the raft. Will fights the shark off a little bit, but it comes back, knocks the boat over, deflates it, and Will is pulled under as the girls watch him get chomped on. But he's still alive and floating. Bree gives one end of a rope to Sunny and says, "When I have him, pull like your life depends on it." So she's actually risking her life to try and save this dude, and in a somewhat smart way in this situation. Like, holy shit. And Bree tells Sunny to, like, calm the fuck down, and she goes in, she grabs Will, and Sunny starts pulling the rope in the most half-assed way I have ever seen. And then Jesse is beside her just watching. Like, Jesse can help pull the rope, but she doesn't. Like, she's just beside Sunny, like, freaking out. Will and Bree are brutally attacked, leaving a bloody mess. The rope gets caught on Sunny, and, like, it whips her out from the dock, and she hits her head. Blood splatters on the dock and just she's fucking dragged in. Fucking Will manages to crawl back onto shore and Jesse runs over to him. He says he thinks his leg is broken, but he ain't got no leg left. Jesse rolls him over and his back is chewed to fuck. It looks like hamburger meat and she tells him it's bad. He bleeds out on the beach a lot. She uses his belt as a tourniquet and pours some booze on his back to sterilize his wounds, but his back looks so bad. It's fucking nasty. Like, there's no way he's coming back from that. Jesse uses the walkie to try and get a hold of anyone else for help. She breaks down crying on the dock when she hears Harlan's voice come over the radio, And he asks her for help, like, figuring out where she is. He tells her to fire off a flare, and she does. He spots the flare and heads her direction, and then tells her to fire another one off in 30 seconds to make sure he's still heading the right way. So he arrives at the dock, but the footage of his boat arriving has, like, the shark fin behind him. And I guess the shark was attacking his boat at some point, because he says it was later on, but we never actually see anything. But this whole piece of footage is entirely CG. His boat coming up to the dock, the shark fin, the water, everything. Again, it's one of those scenes that I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, you could have just had, like, a reaction shot of Jesse, a boat motor noise, and then see him getting off the boat. Because we see that his boat is at the dock, and he does get off of it. So they could have just done that, but instead they did this entirely CG shot, which was so bizarre. It's starting to remind me of Jeepers Creepers Reborn, the fourth one, I guess, where, like, they just had entire scenes that were CG, but they actually had the location. I don't know. Very confusing, very odd choice. So Harlan gets off onto the dock, and he finds Jesse and says he assumes that the shark is the reason she's stuck on this island. And also tells her, he's like, yeah, there's a girl floating out there. And Jesse is like, yeah, she was one of my friends. And then he asks if Will is her friend. Like, fucking duh, buddy. Like, do you want their ancestry DNA too? Like, we don't have time for this. And it really doesn't matter. Harlan radios into the Coast Guard what happened and where they are. Jesse asks Harlan what he's doing out there and tells her about his daughter. And he's here to find it and end it. Jesse says that right before she goes home, she'd like to see that thing fucking dead. And Harlan is like, huh, all right, kid. They watch the shark, and they think it's stuck circling the island due to the low tide, and there's a bunch of reefs around the island, so it doesn't actually have a way out. And then he says he only needs one clean shot to kill it. See, it seems pretty fucking easy. Jesse says she'll lead the shark straight to him, and he just needs to be sure that he doesn't miss. She walks along some shallow rocks that, like, the low tide has revealed, and then Harlan gets his gun ready on the boat, and the shark jumps up and starts biting the boat for some reason. Like, he wasn't chumming the water or anything, so I don't really know why the shark's coming for the boat now, unless the shark is like, oh, I know there's a person on there. Again, unclear. He starts shooting at the shark, but somehow hasn't fucking hit it, like, straight on, like the shark was, like, right there and you missed it. So Jesse gets in the water and starts swimming as the shark chases her, and Harlan continues to shoot. She makes it to the boat, and the shark breaches, and she ducks underwater, and Harlan shoots the shit out of the shark, and it sinks to the bottom. He calls out to Jesse, and she finally resurfaces, and they have a drink from his flask, and he says, "You did a good job, kid." Later, we do the whole zoom out of her face while, black and, or red and, oh my god, red and blue lights are flashing on her face. Jesus Christ, I don't know why I couldn't get that goddamn sentence out of my mouth. So yeah, she's at the sheriff's office and arranging someone to come and get her. I think, like, her uncle's coming or something. And the sheriff then says he has people that he can call to help her through this time. I assume, like, psychological support. But Harlan comes in and says, nah, there's no need for that. All she needs is good company and a good meal. Oh, thanks, Boomer. Your outdated look on mental health is, like, super helpful right now. Jesus Christ. He comes in and sits beside Jesse and tells her his daughter liked blueberry pancakes and asks, do you like blueberry pancakes? And she says she does, and they go out of there to go get blueberry pancakes. What an interesting end to this movie. But wait, there's a little bit more. Hoffman shows up to Harlan's with a man named Peter to chat with him. So they walk over to his daughter's grave so they can have, like, this dramatic conversation, I guess, and says he doesn't like unfamiliar faces, and Hoffman apologizes but says, like, you probably want to hear this guy's story. Peter says he was told by a friend about his exploits, and I think earlier on we saw a news article from the 70s where Harlan had caught a killer shark or something, so this isn't, like, his first fucking rodeo, I guess. So Peter and his family own a small business in some Southeast Asia islands, but business has been plummeting, and his son was killed by a shark, and also a bunch of tourists were killed by a shark, and he believes that all of these people were killed by the same shark. Some local fishermen tried to hunt it down, but they disappeared, and their boat was found, like, mangled. And then Harlan asks, like, how old Peter's son was, and he was only about 10 when he was killed. And then Harlan says, so they took down a boat? And Peter's like, yeah. And Harlan's like, well, we're gonna need a bigger one. Black screen. Fuck you. Oh, Lottie fucking die. You got your Jaws reference in there right at the very fucking end. For a movie that already should have ended, we didn't need this scene. Like, were they really hoping to turn this into a franchise with Tracy Atkins as a shark hunter? Like, really? I mean, okay. Overall, this movie isn't the worst thing I've seen, clearly. The cinematography actually looked good, very nicely shot. My problem is with the pacing and some of the CGI. We're shown the shark at times we don't need to see it. The threat of it being there or just not seeing it, like, so we can let our guards down, is more effective than showing us it, like, every 5 minutes. Like, think Jaws, think Alien. You take your time, you build the tension, and it's fucking awesome. The design of the shark was actually decent. It looked like it may have had, like, burn marks on one side of its face or something, like, because it had, like, all wrinkly skin on one part. So it was very intentional. So it's cool that they made it seem like this shark has, like, a story of its own, maybe, that we don't really know about. But, yeah, it was kind of cool, though. So it did really feel like its own character, but we just needed to see it a little bit less. But I felt like the stakes at the end were pretty low. I just felt like they ran out of money to do, like, a big, or at least bigger, finale. Fuck, sorry. But like, Harlan shooting the shark only after it chased Jesse, when it was right in front of him before, like, made no sense to me. I don't understand that. I guess they wanted to increase the drama, but I also feel like the shark was already attacking his boat, and then Jesse got in the water. It doesn't actually really make a whole lot of sense. I don't feel like that's the writer's fault. It's not the writer's fault. I feel like this probably had a different ending. They didn't have the budget to do it, and this is just what we were left with. So again, it's not terrible, but it's still better than recent watches. But what's disappointing is that this had the potential to be like a 3 or 4 star movie if they just tweaked a couple of things. But because of, like, some of the random full CG scenes and unnecessary shark shots, it goes down to a 2, which isn't that bad. Considering last week, I think I didn't even give the Shark Huntress a rating because I was angry at it, and I'm just not even going to rate it. So, I mean, 2 stars is an improvement. I'll say that's kind of a good way to end the month, I guess. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's all I got for Maneater from 2022. You guys know you can follow me on all the social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, at Bucket of Chum Podcast. If you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/Bucket of Chum. And I'll see y'all next time for another episode of Bucket of Chum.
Completely divided for so long. Two movie fans have decided to unite for the people and the betterment of mankind. One, an action movie buff.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
The other, a horror movie fanatic. Together, They will try to bridge the gap of both genres into one podcast with their battle cry, "Give me back my action and horror movies." Listen along as Charlie and Nate alternate each week talking about action and horror movies they cherish, mostly from the VHS era. Also, including some modern examples that felt like the movies they grew up with by answering the battle cry, "Give me back my action and horror movies." Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Look them up on Facebook and Instagram.